We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, welcome back to Proof to Product. I'm your host, Katie Hunt. Before I introduce today's guest, I have a question for you. How are you feeling about social media these days? Does it light you up? Does it feel like a burden? Are you excited to be online? Now, there's no wrong answer here. I'll admit that some days I love being on social. Some days the pressure of being on is more than I want to deal with. And other days, posting on social media takes a backseat to all the other things that are on my to-do list. And I'm guessing that you may be in a similar boat too. Andrea Jones is my guest today, and she is fiercely committed to helping businesses build profitable online communities through simple social media solutions. She's the host of the Savvy Social podcast, the creator of the Savvy Social School, and one of Social Report's top marketers to follow. On today's episode, Andrea is sharing strategies for outsourcing your social media, including the pros and cons of hiring a social media agency versus hiring someone like a virtual assistant or a freelancer. We talk about what you need to have ready before you hire and how she test drives potential hires with paid projects. We covered a lot of ground today, but I am excited to share that Andrea will be doing a private training, a live training, in our Proof to Product Labs community in April. We are going to dive even deeper into these strategies. We're going to talk about outsourcing social media. We're going to talk about how to review and analyze your social media analytics. And she has blocked off, we have blocked off a good amount of time for Q&A so that you can get the help that you need. To participate in this live training, head to prooftoproduct.com/labs and join my 12-month group coaching program. This program was built specifically for product-based business owners just like you. And again, that's prooftoproduct.com/labs. Now grab your notebook and let's dive into our interview with Andrea Jones of OnlineDrea.com. Hey, Andrea, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is going to be fun.
I know. I'm super excited about this. This has been a very hot topic in our labs community. People are like the range of emotions of they're feeling burned out on social and they want to hire help for it. And they're just feeling like they're spinning their wheels. So I know you're going to shed a lot of light on this topic for everyone. And also you have some really great resources we'll share at the end too with people. So let's kick this off by what is the biggest mistake you see e-commerce brands making when it comes to social media?
Yes. I think sometimes as product creators, we get really excited about our products. And so when we go to social media, we just kind of have nothing left to give. And we go, this is it. Buy it.
Yes. Take all the things.
Yes, please, please. And so that sort of energy sometimes comes off the wrong way for our potential buyers and consumers. And so as a brand, it's important to go back to your roots and make sure you highlight the brand story. You make sure you talk about your why and really focus it in on the end consumer. What Yes. are they going to get from this product? And especially if you can focus on feeling. So sometimes we focus on like the technicality of it. So one of my clients, for instance, works with handmade soaps. And so you can talk about all the ingredients in the soap, which is great. But if you could talk about why that's important, like if it's for sensitive skin, you want to talk about, you know, the effects of using a product that's not for sensitive skin. That really connects to that emotional aspect of why we Yes. buy what we buy. So that's oftentimes the biggest mistake I see with just products in general on social is that by the time we're posting it, we're like, please just buy this instead Yes. of, you know, the story behind why we even have this creation in the first place.
I love that you brought this up because yes, so many product makers, they get stuck in the mechanics, right? Like they're creative, they're artists, they're excited by the challenge of creating something new. And so then when they try to talk about it with people, they're talking about their perspective of the technical aspects of making it or how it was manufactured or all these special things, which are really cool. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't talk about those to some extent, but what you're talking about, the emotional side of it, how will this bring joy to their lives? How will it make their lives easier? How will it help that person with the sensitive skin, you know, enjoy the soap? And really thinking of it from the consumer's point of view and how the brand and how the products will make a difference in their life. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes too, we miss the iteration of that. So, you know, maybe we feel like we've already said it, right? Oh, we said that in a post like a month ago. But I think it's important to revisit that as well. Like our posts on social media are mixed into hundreds of thousands of other posts. So you may have to say it a few times as well once you start talking about something, just so it kind of sticks in our head as a consumer, kind of looking at your brand, fully understanding what it is you have to offer.
I love that. I am a big proponent of repurposing content so that anything you're putting on social is also going in your emails, it's going in your product descriptions, it's going in all the places, because to your point exactly, they're not going to remember that they saw it in different places. And we got to cut through the clutter too of standing out, right? That's great tips. You know, social media can sometimes, like I mentioned earlier, be a pain point for entrepreneurs. They feel pressure to be on all the time, but they also have a million other things to do within their business, right? So what are some red flags or maybe some signs that it might be a good time for them to outsource their social media?
So if you're feeling dread when you go to open Instagram, or if you feel panicked at like a Facebook message popping up, maybe time to start thinking about outsourcing it.
Those are good red flags.
Yeah, I feel like we all feel those feelings, and we do feel this conflict because we need to be on social media because we can understand the value it brings to our business and positioning ourselves out in the world. But also we have 10,000 other things we need to do as business owners. So at some point you do want to outsource this. And I want you to think about this like accounting. That was the first thing I outsourced for my business. I do Same. Not need to be doing my own books.
No, me neither. And I love numbers, but I don't need to be doing my own books.
Right. I want to look at it and I want to see it when it's done, but I don't want to be like categorizing expenses that like pluck my eyeballs out. I don't want to do it. So I think the same thing goes for a lot of business owners. If it's something that has that visceral reaction for you, it's time to outsource it. Even if you're getting into the spot where, you know, you have a lot of systems in place and you can see how a VA could come in and help support you with some of the maybe posting of the content after it's created, or maybe, you know, you're expanding your customer service team and you can see how they could help respond to some of those inquiries on indirect messages and comments and things like that. So as you start growing, you will see some of those pain points, but also if it's starting to feel very painful for you to go through that process, then definitely outsource and don't feel bad. It's just like outsourcing like bookkeeping or something like that.
Totally. Now let's talk about the different types of help out there. You mentioned, you know, a VA is a good possibility. That's like an independent person that's a freelancer. I know you have a social media agency as well. What are the pros and cons of hiring an agency versus an individual or vice versa?
So for the agency side, you're getting a proven system. So what you're paying for is not having to think about the strategy. You're not having to also get someone to help with probably like graphic design, maybe some minor video editing. They kind of have all of that in place. So one of the benefits of an agency is that there's no training involved other than training them on what your brand is. The downside of having an agency come in is that they do have other clients. So they're not going to be 100% dedicated to you. So you do have to keep that in mind. So some people want the agency because they don't want to think about it. They just want it handled. And then some people want that individual person because they want maybe more of a long-term person on their team, or even just having someone who can wear multiple hats. So someone who's maybe can also help with like newsletters or other marketing aspects. So having an individual can be beneficial in that way. So it kind of really depends on where you are. Agencies do tend to be a little bit more expensive, but you don't have to pay for training.
It's full service. Yeah.
It's so full service. And then the individual person, there may be some more training involved on how to do some of these things. You may have to pay for them to take like certain courses and things like that. But you potentially have more of a long-term person on the team who could really be dedicated 100% to that role.
I want to point out or reiterate something you said. The strategy component is a huge difference between these two options. Like you said, with an agency, you're getting that strategy built in, the proven mechanics and workflow of how this should work. With an individual, you as a business owner are still driving the strategy behind it. You're driving the mechanics of it, of how, you know, kind of setting the stage of how often you want them posting and what kind of content and all of that. So that is a big difference that I want to make sure our listeners hear and see, because we can hire people in our business to do things, but we also don't want to become a bottleneck in having those people do their job either. Have you seen issues like that arise when you've worked with people?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And especially if you don't have some of the other pieces in place. So some agencies, for instance, will also help with product photography. So if you hire an individual person who's like waiting on photos to post on social media, that could become a potential problem in the workflow there. So yeah, absolutely. Hiring the agency can really speed along that entire process so that you're not the bottleneck for making decisions on, you know, what comes up for editorial calendars, you know, how to plan out the campaign launch for a new product or something like that. So the agency side definitely helps with more of those things.
I think sometimes people are a little bit nervous to give up that control. I think they're sometimes worried, will this agency get it right? Will they get my brand voice? Will they understand our brand imagery and all these things? What do you say to people that have concerns like that?
Nobody will understand your brand 100% on day one.
Of course, yeah.
And so I think some of that is just being okay with that process and accepting that that's the part of the process, but also making sure that you understand your brand. So oftentimes the biggest piece to that is your kind of positioning lives in your head as a business owner. And then when you bring on other people, it is hard to kind of describe that. So doing some of that work ahead of time can be very helpful, no matter if you hire an agency or an individual person, and just helpful as you expand your brand and expand your business. But a good agency should be able to help you and facilitate that process. So for my agency, for instance, we do a lot of research on the front end. We have intake forms to help with this and kind of strategy calls to go over this. And we create our own internal like brand guidelines for clients. So that could really help you just as a part of that process, really understand in more concrete ways what your brand is like before someone else comes in and starts behaving as your brand on social media.
This feeds nicely. I was going to ask you, what do we need to have ready before we like contact someone like you and say, you know, we need help, you know, what kind of things do we need to have in play, which I want you to answer. But also I want to make a quick comment about the branding guide. I've talked about this on the podcast in the past and within my community, but that's something that evolves over time too. So even if you've done branding exercises when you were first starting your business, if it's been a couple of years, like it's a good time to refresh that and think again of, are we still talking to the same audience? Are we still talking about the same type of content pillars? Are we, you know, are we still on that same path that we set out a couple of years ago on? But what do you want people to have ready for you?
Yes, that messaging piece I think is the biggest piece. And I'll give an example for one of my clients who recently really committed to some anti-racist work in their business, especially in 2020. So when we came on as an agency, that new commitment wasn't really anywhere in their brand documentation, on their website, or even really on social media yet. So that's an example of something that you want to start thinking about, how you want to show up on social media with that new messaging, with that kind of new perspective. And even it's so nuanced, right? And so you really want to think about that and know that, like you said, it's always going to change. It's always going to evolve. The other thing you want to have in place, two things when you're thinking about hiring an agency, is to have marketing objectives, things you want to get from social media. So you should kind of have an understanding already how social media plays a role in your business. So what does it do for your business? If you don't understand that, then bringing on an agency could potentially add more confusion. So you want to understand kind of the role social media plays, but then also the objectives you want to get from social media. So are you trying to, you know, grow an email list? Are you trying to sell directly to consumers? Are you trying to get deals with larger companies that you can partner with, like, and sell wholesale products with? So you kind of have to understand the position that social media plays and the role it plays. So for example, if you're trying to get placements in larger retail stores, social media then becomes more of a showcase piece of what's possible, not necessarily trying to make the sale. Yeah. Versus if you're trying to grow an email list, you're kind of how you show up on social will be different. And then the last way that, or the last thing you really want to have in place as you're starting to bring someone on board is kind of the editorial calendar. So example would be if Mother's Day is kind of a big event in your company for your products, you want to make sure you have things like that outlined so that when someone else comes in into play, they can easily kind of adjust based on key dates that are important for you and your business.
That is brilliant. I want to go back to the outcomes for a second here. I think that's an exercise. I want to encourage our listeners. That's an exercise you should be doing even now, whether you're hiring somebody or not. I think so often with our marketing in general, we're throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks, but we're not always clear on what we're trying to accomplish. And you laid that out so clearly of, is it more of a lead generation where we're trying to build the list? Is it more of an acquisition type situation? Where in the customer journey are we trying to meet them and how are we bringing them into the fold? Are we trying to convert them to paying customers? I think that's the easiest thing. People think, oh, I just want to get more sales. And it's like, well, this is, it's nuanced, right? It's very nuanced.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of us too think about the outcomes for tomorrow. I just need more sales tomorrow. But social media doesn't really work that way. Oftentimes, yeah. It's kind of like you're building up to something. So like figuring out what that something is oftentimes key to kind of understanding the pieces, because then we start looking at things like, oh, my follower count didn't grow. And it was like, well, that wasn't even an objective for you.
Right. So we're not worried about that. We're looking at these other metrics over here. That's
exactly.
Awesome. Do you help, like if somebody comes to you and they don't really have clear objectives or they're not really monitoring their analytics in something like Instagram, do you kind of help them formulate their KPIs, you know, or the things that they should be looking at based upon what their objectives are? Is that something you help with?
Yeah. So I do have, it kind of depends on where, like the size of your business and where you are.
Right.
For our agency clients, we do help set that up. And oftentimes it's a conversation where we ask probing questions to really get to the heart of the problem.
Yeah.
But for those people who are maybe a little bit sooner in their business journey or on a different path, I do offer training on that as well.
Oh, cool.
In fact, I have a video on my YouTube channel about this as well, like how to build out your own reports and kind of what you should be thinking about and questions you should ask.
Because awesome.
Even different content pieces play into that as well. So Instagram, for example, the big question we always get is, why is it my engagement, you know, going up? But so one of our clients has this new product that's like a little bit risque. And so they were like, man, people aren't engaging with this post, but looking at the analytics, they're clicking over to the bio, they're clicking that link in the bio. And so they're definitely taking action, but they're not going to like and comment and say something like, oh, I have problems with like incontinence and this product would be
right.
helpful for me. You know, like they're not going to say that publicly. And so
right.
sometimes too, just like making sure each post you're looking at the right metrics can be very helpful to understand the success of any campaign.
That is so, I hadn't thought that granular about it, but you're absolutely right. Each post has its own objective and its own analytics. And yeah, that would make sense too, why people wouldn't want to comment or engage with something that might embarrass them publicly, but it's still a problem that needs to be solved, right? So
absolutely.
I would love to share that link in our show notes if the YouTube link. So we'll do that there for everybody. I think people also struggle with the whole, how do I know that whoever I'm hiring to manage social media knows what they're doing? And I feel like that's not as much of a question on the agency side, because obviously an agency serves multiple clients. They have you can see their success, right? But I find that like on the freelancer side, the VA side, how do you know someone knows their stuff? Like, what should we be looking for there?
Yes. And I'll say I hire for this too. So, you know, that when I hire account managers for my team, I'm thinking the same question.
Yes.
It can be tough. So some of the things that have really helped me are to do test or sample projects. And I do pay for these.
Yeah.
to give them actual work, but to see how, like, to basically test their skills level for two things. Number one, I want to just make sure that they're not going too fast. I've had this problem in the past where you hire people who just don't have that attention to detail we need for social media. There's spelling errors, there's grammar errors. Those are just unacceptable.
Yeah, in my world, the worst offender is spelling stationery wrong with an A-R-Y at the end. And I had that happen once and it was bad. But anyhow, go on.
yes, that, exactly. So you're testing for that, but then you're also just testing for a fit for your brand. You want to see how they reflect your brand voice back. You want to see if there's any design that they're going to be doing, how they reflect that back as well. Mm-hmm. And that's a really fast way to get to the right person. Because I don't know about y'all, but I just have a rose-colored glasses view on everyone I talk to. And I'm they'll be too. Wonderful.
They'll be perfect for the team. Look at all their experience. Yes, I feel the same.
Yes, and then you interview them and you connect with them. But I have found that getting to that paid test project really highlights if they'll be a good fit or not. So that's my suggestion. If you're hiring just like an individual person, paid test projects are the way to go. Before that process, you can ask certain questions like their experience behind social media. And if they have given examples, ask questions for what they contributed to that project. So oftentimes people will even link to Instagram pages they've worked on or, you know, have a portfolio of work, but they don't really highlight what they worked on. So did you write this caption? Did you design this graphic? Did you research these hashtags? Get specific about what they contributed to the project, because that can oftentimes enlighten how they helped with that project. Because sometimes people have worked in social media in the past, but what happens is they were on a team that had creative. So someone else wrote the caption, someone else designed the graphic, and they're just really like putting it together and uploading it, which is a different skill set and maybe not quite what you're looking for.
No, totally. And some brands will have templated graphics that you just drop text into or quotes into or whatever it is. And that's not, depending on what your needs are and what you're hiring for, that may be just fine. But if you're looking for someone where that's a major piece of their job, you definitely want to know. That's a really smart way to kind of get to the heart of which parts of this did you manage. I'm totally a rose-colored glasses hire too, and I think the best of everyone. So it's sometimes tough for me. Like, I do try to take my time in hiring because I want to make sure we have the right people in place. I will also add that it is helpful to have other team members. If you have other team members or people in your sphere that could interview them too, that's always helpful for me to get that secondary perspective. The test projects. I have a colleague who started doing test projects. It wasn't necessarily social media. It was something else. And she brought on like three people to do the test project round. And she ended up hiring two of the three. Do you find that to be the case for you too when you are doing this hiring?
Yes, there has been a few times. Actually, recently, I ended up hiring two account managers instead of one because the test projects were pretty good. Yeah. And I was really excited about it. But I think that's the best scenario if you have to make a tough call that way. I've also had the opposite happen where I've had people go through the test project. I'm like, none of these are great. And then you have to start all over again. Yeah. So I'd rather have the hard decision of going, do I hire one or two? Then I can't hire any of these. Right, I don't want to have over. That. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. I hadn't considered that side, but yeah, I could definitely see that being a very real possibility. Can you tell us a little bit more about the test project? Are you having them create graphics or captions or combination of the two? What are you asking people to do?
Yes, it's a combination of the two. So there's a test project, and then I also do like a trial week as well, just to kind of give them more of the test project. But generally speaking, they're working on an actual project. So I'll use the Mother's Day example again. If there's Mother's Day coming up, I would say, here's the campaign. This is what our brand looks like. Can you write one post about this product specifically? And then see what they come up with. I do want them to create a graphic if that's part of their role. If it's not, I may have them edit a graphic. So on our agency, we actually have a graphic designer. So oftentimes they're just kind of changing text or something like that on the graphic. But I want to see what they come up with. And especially for social media, I want to make sure they understand how social media works. So if you're writing a post for Instagram, a little bit different than writing a post for Facebook or for Twitter, kind of making sure they kind of take the platform, the nuances of the different platform into effect, like, or they take that into consideration when they're creating that post. So if someone adds a link, for instance, into an Instagram post, to me, that's a little red flag, because then I know there's probably more training I would need to do on how Instagram works. Yeah. And I'd rather go with someone who understands that links in the body of an Instagram post isn't really the way to go.
Oh, that's great. Okay. We talked about some of the things you want us to prepare before we work with you, or before we hire somebody to manage this. What kind of things are you providing to your clients to make the workflow easier? Like, what kind of, how do you onboard them so that you feel like you're really understanding their voice and their brand and everything before you start working with people?
Yeah. So there's a few different elements and things that we put together in that onboarding process. We start off with an audit. And so an audit is basically just taking a look at your social media accounts as they are today. And oftentimes audits bring up a lot of things that are some things that need to be fixed. So things like, you know, maybe your Instagram story highlight covers aren't there, or you've got an old post kind of pinned to the top on Twitter, or there's like a ghost TikTok account with nothing on it just floating out there. So we'll do an audit just trying to figure out where social is today. Make a list of everything that needs to be fixed, and then we'll work on the strategy. So strategy is informed by the audit. So in the audit, we're also looking at things like historical posts that work really well, any spikes in engagement and traffic. We're also comparing that to Google Analytics as well to see, you know, what kind of traffic was driven to the website for specific campaigns and that sort of thing. And then the strategy is built out from there. We kind of have our own framework, but, you know, we apply what we've learned in the audit to that strategy. We're also doing a competitor analysis, specifically of their social. So we want to see what people in the space are doing on social and how our products or services align with those or stand out against them.
That's great.
Sometimes that also brings up like content ideas and things that other people are doing.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's research into the brand voice. And so I think my agency does this a little bit differently than others in that we do what we call copy stocking, where we go back and we basically become obsessed with our clients, like how they say the things that they say. Cause they're like, everyone has a nuanced thing. So we'll like listen to podcast interviews where they're talking about their products. We'll read past newsletters to make sure we fully understand their voice and try to pull out the phrases and the ways that they say specific things. And we put that together in a document. It's typically about 3 or 4 pages long, just kind of like the way that they say things and the stories of the brand. And then there's a few other things that do go into this onboarding process, things like hashtag research, maybe designing like a grid of graphics to see how Instagram could look, creating some branding graphics for things like Facebook cover photos and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of little other things that go along with the onboarding phase. But the purpose of like all of the time we spend in this phase is so that we can then kind of create content with ease.
Yeah.
You can create content in a way that anyone can do it. So the other thing about this agency is that a lot of our clients use us as an in-between. An example would be one of our clients booked us for 18 months, and then we helped them transition into hiring a full-time person. Because they actually got too big for us to manage. It was becoming quite a lot, which is a great problem. And that's kind of like our goal for a lot of our clients. So this kind of onboarding phase creates a database of information so that anybody could technically come in and continue the work that we're doing as well.
Yeah. Do you offer them to help train? Like in this client, for this client, did you help train their new person that was coming in then?
Yeah. So because of the way the business is set up, we have so much information that it's actually, it takes a couple hours to catch a new person up to speed.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
And then we have a lot of assets for them so they can just kind of take it and go. And then because I also teach this in my own program as well, if they need ongoing support, like one of the biggest questions right now is about Instagram Reels. So if they're not sure how to like create Reels or upload them or use sounds or things like that, I already have training on that in my program. So it's a really, they just fit together. So I could just go, yep, here's the videos.
That is a huge compliment. So like, I'm envisioning your client like experience life cycle here of like, somebody needs help getting organized. They need to utilize these platforms that they're they need to utilize them in a stronger way, I should say, instead of having kind of a haphazard strategy. You help them get started. Should they grow into a bigger brand that needs support, you can help train that person. You can also provide ongoing professional development, educational programming as things shift, because we know that social is always changing. I think that it's so layered and lovely how you're supporting different businesses through their growth phases. I think that's really incredible.
Yes. You know, when you lay it out like that, I'm like, oh, that does sound nice, but it's been like 7 years of grinding to get to this point.
Well, girl, I was going to say, I know this didn't happen overnight, and I'm sure you put so much thought and care into how you did this, but like from the outside looking in, you're essentially helping businesses at all phases of their journey, yes. Whether they're just starting out or whether they're really ramping up a team that needs support. And I think that's a beautiful thing. The impact you're making on these businesses is huge. I hope you do see that and recognize it and celebrate it.
Thank you. You know, some days it is tough because, you know, you look at social media and you go, is this making a difference? Are we doing something good here? And I know we are, but there are also the downsides of social, which can be tough. But yes, I try to support as much as I can. And I'm a huge believer in not trying to get or not being super burned out by social. And so that's really where my support comes in. Like, you don't know how to do stories, that's fine. Don't struggle through it. I can help you. If you don't want to do it yourself, I can help you with that too. If you need to train your team, yeah. I can help you with that too. So that's kind of where I carve my space out in the world.
That's awesome. I love that. As I was listening to you, I was getting really excited. I'm like, oh gosh, this is like, I need this. Because right now I'm managing our entire social. And I always have. I think some of my hangups were similar to some of my clients in that, like, I don't know, I kind of like having it be my voice. And I've tried outsourcing it in the past and I had that one mishap. But like, I don't know. I don't really have a good reason for not outsourcing it other than I do like to be on there. What do you say about like, I feel like I would be a problem client because I like to go rogue. Like, I recorded some reels yesterday and the day before, and now I'm just like, oh, one today, one tomorrow, you know, like spitting them out in a very non-strategic way. What do you do in reeling clients back like that like don't quite pass the buck, but need to get step back and let you do your job?
Yes. Okay. First, if you like social, then maybe outsource something else. Like, I think, right? I don't think there's anything
wrong.
Thank you
for saying that.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with like, if you like it, then do that. And maybe outsource like writing your emails or something, you know what I mean? Like, there's other things,
yeah.
But there can be a collaboration there. So we have a client like this right now too. She just posts a lot to her stories. I mean, she just loves being on social, and we just like, yep, go ham in the stories, like post every day, multiple times a day, all day. If you want, that's fine. But if you want to post to the feed, we're going to have to be a little controlling and yeah. Ask you not to do that nicely. And so we just work out a system. Some clients, if they take selfies, they'll just send us like a batch of selfies that we can post to the feed. For reels, you can save them as drafts.
Right.
So that's very helpful. Even some of our clients will just record as they're recording a reel or as if they're recording a reel, just the video piece and send that to us. And then we can edit it, like add the text, upload sounds if we need to. So that's helpful. But I do have to say, as an agency, we like to have control over the feed, and it's for a good reason. Like, we want to be able to make predictable results on social. And whenever you kind of go rogue as a client, it's really hard to predict results going forward. So an example would be your reels. Then next month, if you don't post any reels, you're going to look at the data and go, why did my follower count dip or engagement like tanked or something like that? And it's probably because you like bursted through all of the reels one month and then didn't do any the next.
Well, and that's exactly what happened. I did a whole bunch of reels because I was on TikTok playing with that last summer, just experimenting, right? And then when reels opened, I just repurposed a lot of them. So I had a lot at the front end, and then I got busy and bored a little bit, and you know, and now I'm like, oh, this is actually really fun. And I have a little more free time. So let me do some more. But I totally respect that. And I would feel like I was getting in someone's way and really sabotaging my own success if I was just kind of off the cuff posting things. I think it's good that you guys are holding control of that.
We try.
I would try. It's hard, I know. But it's also, to your point, like, if I'm hiring somebody to do this job, I need to get out of their way and let them do the job. Obviously, it's still a collaborative situation. But in order for you to do the best job, I can't be stepping on toes, micromanaging, like changing up the plan. Like, that's just that's not good for anybody. And that goes for everything, not just social, but everything we do in our business.
Yeah. And as a agency client relationship, one of the things I love is when clients like creating content. That actually is a lot easier for us to manage than the clients who don't want to contribute at all. And yeah. So there has to be some sort of collaboration. And so that piece could be really helpful. And if you do have those like bursts of energy, we can feed into that and say, okay, let's create 10 reels. And then we have content for the next 2 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, that would be good for me because I'd record a bunch and then I wouldn't have my finger on the trigger to post, but I would like somebody else could throttle me, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Andrea, I know that you are coming into our labs community in April to teach a more extensive training. What kind of topics are we going to dive a little bit deeper into there?
Yes, we're going to talk more about workflow and how to set up a great workflow for both you and the person that you're hiring to do social media. We're going to talk about analytics, how you can check to see if your campaigns are actually working. And we're going to leave lots of time for Q&A so that you can get your specific questions answered. And I really like Q&As because I can customize my responses to you because everyone's business is so nuanced.
I love it. We've got 90 minutes blocked off, guys, in the training. We'll leave lots and lots of time for Q&A because I love the Q&A too. I feel like we're able to like immediately solve problems in that time frame. So I am so excited for you to join us and I know everyone else will be super excited too. So thank you for coming to talk to our community on that. Well, you know, I know you have a lot of really amazing educational programs and things that people can learn from you about social media in particular, but also this outsourcing piece. Do you want to share where people can find you online and about some of your programs that you have available?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm online Drea everywhere on Instagram, Twitter, Clubhouse, even now, just kind of hanging out online. So that's the best way to connect with me. And then if you want to get a sense of what my framework is like, so the framework that we apply to our clients and that we teach in the school, you can find that at onlinedrea.com/free, F-R-E-E. And that's a free mini course that teaches our framework, how to create content, how to find followers, the works. And so that will lead you into Savvy Social School, which is our membership, low-cost membership, especially for those of you just getting started, or, you know, we just added a bunch of Reels tutorials if you want to learn how to do that. And then if you want to work with us as an agency, you can go to my website, onlinedrea.com, and the information is there for the agency site as well.
Fantastic. We will include all of those links in the show notes, the YouTube videos, your link to your membership and your website, of course, and that free course. I really appreciate you coming on to share your knowledge here with us. I think the bookkeeping tends to be the first thing people outsource. And in my community, in my creative world, I'm seeing that social media is bubbling up as kind of the secondary hire that they're doing. And that also goes for the more established brands. I think they may have tried an individual in the past, but now they're also looking for an agency. So there's kind of two tiers of this, that people needing beginner help and then also people looking for the more full service. And I love that you shared strategies for both of those things. So thank you so much for your time and sharing your expertise with us today.
Thanks for having me, Katie. This was fun.
It's my pleasure. Okay, friends, a couple of things really stood out to me today from the interview with Andrea that I want to reiterate here. First, hire in the areas where you need help. I loved when Andrea said, if you love social, maybe it's not the thing to outsource. And she's absolutely right. We can also hire pieces of this. You know, maybe we need to hire someone that can build out the strategy for us, but then we implement it. Or maybe we're doing the strategy piece and we're having someone that comes in to post different pieces and do engaging things online, right? So secondly, I think there's a misconception in our online business world that social media management is just creating pretty pictures and scheduling posts. And I was really impressed by the research and deep diving that Andrea and her team do. You know, the hashtag research, the analytics review, identifying objectives to make sure that the social media is actually producing the results that you want from it. We're not just haphazardly posting. I thought that that was really enlightening. And I love that they are in alignment with the objectives that their clients have set, because we're not just playing on social media. We want it to serve as a strong marketing tool for our business. And clearly she's doing that with her clients. Third, I really like how her agency provides support to people at different levels of business. She talked about the community she has that supports younger businesses, as well as experienced companies that want to bring their social media management in-house. The fact that she will help train that person and give them the systems and strategies to be successful is really enlightening. A lot of agencies, they want to keep you working with them, right? And so that was really cool to hear her talk about that. Now, if you want to learn more from Andrea about outsourcing social media, monitoring social media analytics, and getting your personal questions answered, be sure to join us in Proof to Product Labs. She will be leading our April masterclass. Now, Labs is my 12-month group coaching program where we cover all aspects of building a profitable, sustainable business. And we want you to do it in your own way and on your own schedule. So sign up at proof2product.com/labs. And when you enroll, you will also get access to all of our past trainings. And we've covered things like bookkeeping and email marketing and more. So get all of the details at proof2product.com/labs, or feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions too. But thank you so much for being here today. I will be back next week with a brand new episode just for you. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to proof2product.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.